I invite your attention to the book of Matthew. You'll never guess what we're going to talk about today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 is where we'll begin. As you're turning there, Matthew 28 and verse 1. Once you arrive there, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And we are going to, when we arrive at verse 10, we're going to skip over to verse 16, okay? Because they go together. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. And his clothing is white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the grave, risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Greg, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. We all know how this story goes. We've all heard this story from the time that we could come to church until today. We know the story, how the ladies come to the tomb. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus, and their biggest concern was who's going to roll away the stone. They got there, and behold, there was a great earthquake. An angel descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. The angel sat on the stone. I love this next part, how the guards were there. They saw all this. They see the angel descend. They see the angel roll back the stone. They see the angel sitting on the stone. You know what they did? They passed out for fear. I just see that angel sitting on that stone saying, "How you like me now?" Y'all thought y'all could stop it, but you couldn't. The angel spoke when the ladies arrived. The angel spoke to the ladies. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus, but He's not here. He's risen from the grave, just as He said. He's not here. Come see the place where He lay. And you see a turn right there. They go from being consumed with grief to, hey, this thing really did happen. This is something special. Jesus knew what He was talking about when He said in 3 days He would rise. But oftentimes, we wrap up this nice little Easter package and we get Jesus out of the grave and we say, hoorah! And it is a great thing. But if that's as far as we go, we're missing the point. See, Jesus didn't just come out of the grave to be out of the grave. Jesus came out of the grave to make a difference because He came back to life, and because He lives now, you and I will live. That's a big difference. That's what I want to ask you. I want to begin with the question today. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? If we dye eggs, if we put on our Sunday best clothes, if we come to church, what difference does it make? What difference does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make in your life? We start with the atmosphere. The atmosphere of Easter. The atmosphere of the resurrected Christ. This was, as I said, they're coming off a low point. And even though the angel has told them, don't be afraid. You know, Jesus is risen from the grave. Even though they've heard that, they're kind of skeptical. They're kind of like, really? Really? Just as probably you and I would be. But now, they're turning from that hopelessness to hope. And as they receive the message that Jesus had risen from the grave, they leave there. They're going to tell the disciples. And along the way, they meet someone. Who was it? Jesus. You waited too long, I answered for you. It was Jesus. And did you know what Jesus said in the text that we read? Rejoice! Rejoice! That's what He said. He met him walking down the road. Rejoice! You know what that means? It was a greeting. It was a Hebrew greeting. And it was a wish of happiness and well-being kind of a greeting. It's a, you meet somebody and you say, good morning. Now what would you do if you met Jesus and He said, good morning? Would you respond, isn't it though? Absolutely. And the first thing I want to point out to you is the attitude here. The big shift. They've gone from crying and mourning the death and now meeting Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, good morning. It's a good day. It's going to be okay. Do you realize what a great day today is? When you got out of bed, you were able to get out of bed. When you arrived at church, you live in a country where you can come to church and it doesn't matter who likes it or who don't. They can't stop you. If you're a child of God, you know there is a future. And no matter how bad the news gets in this country, the news in heaven is still good. Jesus Christ is still coming back. He's still going to get His saints. And we're going to spend eternity in heaven with Him forever and ever.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Check your attitude for Easter. The first challenge. It's good to be a child of God. It's good to let others see Jesus showing on your face. I have often looked at, and listen, I love you when I say this, okay? But sometimes every Sunday morning I sit over here and I look out and I think, boy, what's wrong with them? A little sad and gloom look. I want to tell you what, if you're a child of God, it's not nearly as bad as you think it is. Because we win. We win. First thing, consider the difference the resurrected Christ makes. Second thing, the rejoicing of the saints. It gets better and better. Verse 9 says, as Jesus said, rejoice! And they fell at His feet and worshiped Him. Now, the idea behind worship is, of course, a submission, a complete bowing down and submission, saying, "Oh, Jesus, we love You." Pouring your heart out before Him. Literally, do you know what the term means? If you'll notice, they fell at His feet. They took hold of His feet. The term means to kiss one's feet. Wow. Let me ask you, you came to worship today, amen? Are you ready to get on your knees and kiss the feet of Jesus type worship? Okay, not talking about kissing anybody else's feet here. I'm talking about getting on your knees and just pouring yourself out before Jesus. Can you imagine the relief? They thought Jesus is dead. Now they meet Him. He says, "Rejoice." And the only thing they can think to do is to get on their knees and pour out all their worship before Jesus. I like that. I think that's the way we should be today. That's how... Do you realize it's still okay to worship? It is. I realize we try to organize the service and we have lists of songs and people doing certain things at certain times. And each Sunday we've laid out the service. I get all that and I like the organization of the service. But we can organize all we want to. But if you don't worship, if you don't bow down before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, if you don't honor the Son of God, you've missed the whole point. It's all about Jesus. It's all about getting on our knees. And I think that's something we need to teach today. I think that's something that's been lost. People are afraid to get on their knees anymore. Afraid of who's watching. It doesn't matter who's watching. The one that's watching that matters is Jesus. You know, let's get back to worship. Where we're willing to amen. When the Word of God is preached, when we're willing to rejoice and open up and let her fly and make a joyful noise, even though we might be a little bit off key. It doesn't matter if we offend the person sitting next to us. We're praising the God that's above us. You know? Let there be worship this Easter, where we bow down and give God the glory in which He deserves. Our Savior, let us honor Him. For He paid it all. And then there's a reunion. I love this last part. This last part. Jesus, He meets him. Good morning. Rejoice. They bow down and they kiss Jesus' feet. They're just pouring themselves out before Him. And Jesus says, "Go tell my brother. Go tell the boys. I'm going to meet them in Galilee." Now, if you just run past that, you don't stop and think the significance there. But these are the guys who, when they arrested Jesus, do you remember their response? They ran. The mob come and took Jesus and they ran away for fear. This is the Peter that, when he was accused, "Oh, you're one of those Jesus guys, aren't you? You follow that Jesus, don't you? You remember Peter?" "No, not me. Not me, uh-uh." 3 times he did that. These are honestly pitiful excuses for disciples. And I'm not standing here before you saying I would be any better. I'm just stating a fact. Okay? But I look at Jesus' first words here and He says, go tell my boys. I want to meet with them in Galilee. You know, there is a love there. A compassion there. Go tell my family that I want to spend some time with them again. Even though it was a complete breakdown of their spiritual family and these guys had blown it. Jesus said, "Tell them, come on, I want to spend some time with them." You know, you and I would probably say, "Forget it. Y'all blew it. I'll take care of the rest of it by myself." But that wasn't Jesus. And I look and I think, as we're gathered today, I want you to look back. And I want you to consider your failure. Okay? I don't have to look back very far to be honest with you. Last week, the Lord gives you weeks for a reason, right? Last week, and I probably should apologize to the entire church staff, but I was just in a bad mood. Nobody else does that, do you? I was just, you know, and I didn't have a reason. And I was... And when you don't have a reason, it just makes the mood worse, doesn't it? If I could say, oh, Brother Michael did this to me, but Brother Michael didn't do nothing to me. Brother Kelly, he didn't do anything. And I look, and I... Beth, she didn't do anything to me. And I told her, I was Wednesday or Thursday. I told her, I'm just irritable. And I don't have a reason why. You know what she said? Suck it up, buttercup. No, not really. She didn't say that. She thought it, but she didn't say it. But I look back at this was the week before Easter. This is the week for preachers. Okay? You know Sunday's coming. There's going to be a good attendance on Easter. You know it's your chance. And I just failed. As I was considering this, I thought, wow. Even at looking at my failure last week and a long line of failures, you know, Jesus still wants to meet with me here today. His presence is still here. And the call goes out every week on Sundays. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The message of love still is proclaimed from Jesus. And every week I come and I think, well, I've blown it again this week, Lord. But the Lord still wants to keep company with me. And you know what's cool? It's not just me who blows it. It's all of us. And God still wants your company. Jesus still wants your presence. Okay? And that's why I challenge you today, this Easter, don't let it just be another Easter. We all go to church. We all go home. Hoopla, Jesus is alive. Don't let it stop there. Okay? It means so much more. Celebrate a risen Savior. Rejoice. Worship. Answer the call. Come unto me. Get that quality time that Jesus you ain't had in a long time. I'm sorry, you've not had in a long time. Then we go on. You see, when you do, it doesn't end. It doesn't end with just one service. We look at the authority, and Jesus went on, and all this goes together. Matthew took a break, and I skipped over the verses 11 through 15, and that's where the guards were bribed to tell a lie. But 16 goes right hand in hand with verse 10, and we seldom ever preach it along with it. You see, as Jesus says, rejoice, as Jesus says, I'm alive, as Jesus says, go tell my boys to meet me. Now in verse 16, he says, here's what we're going to do with it. First thing I want you to know, guys. He's met them in Galilee, and he says, the first thing I want you to know is all authority is given to me. That word authority means right. We know Jesus is God in the flesh. We know He's all powerful. He's almighty. But what we sometimes become confused about is that Jesus has the right to be all powerful and almighty. He has the right to command. You get that? Okay? We call Him Lord, and we use that word Lord very lightly in that it's more of a passing title. But when we say Lord, we're saying, Jesus, You have paid, You have bought and paid for me upon the cross of Calvary, and I don't have any rights. My rights fall within You and what You tell me to do. When Jesus says go, I go. When Jesus says stay, I stay. Do you realize if Jesus called you to be a missionary in Africa today, would you go? Well, I don't know. Is He your Lord? Is he your Lord? You see, that's what he's getting across to these guys. He's wanting these guys to understand, guys, I've got the power, but not only do I have the power, I have the right to use it. And I'm about to send you out to do awesome things and win the world to salvation. And here's what you've got to know. I have the right to tell you what to do. Do you realize Jesus has the right to tell you what to do? Why does he have that right to tell you what to do? Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are what we are because of what Jesus did. And it wasn't anything that we did. It was Jesus who died. It was Jesus who crucified. It was Jesus who lay in that grave for 3 days. And glory to God, it was Jesus that broke all the odds and came out of that grave alive. See, I want you to get, it's Jesus. And he has the right to tell us, to tell you what to do. And when you realize that, you realize the responsibility. He said, therefore go, make disciples of all nations. Literal translation, live your life making disciples. What is the point of your life? If you're a child of God, what is the motivating factor of your life? Why are you here? People ask me that a lot. Brother Doug, I just can't figure out why I'm here. I know why you're here. You're here to make disciples. Okay? See, this applies to everyone. It applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to everyone here. We are here. Jesus says, I've got the power. Now, I'm giving you a job. You go make disciples. What does that look like? Well, let me ask you. How many fathers do we have? Raise your hand. You know what your job is as a father? You're a disciple maker. You turn the hearts of your children toward Jesus. You teach them the principles, the biblical foundational principles of what a believer needs to know. Because one of these days, as they live life, they're going to need that. Let me say, how many mothers do we have? Amen. You're a disciple maker. Teach your children. Educate your children in the Word. If you don't give it, they won't get it. Okay? Make disciples. How many grandparents do we have? Yeehaw! That's the good part. I like being a grandparent. We still have responsibilities to teach our grandkids about Jesus Christ. You see, yes, Jesus is Lord. And yes, he has the right to send us wherever he wants to go. But the fact is, most of you, he's got where he wants. He's given you what he wants you to have. Now he wants you to be responsible as mothers and fathers and grandparents to turn the hearts of your children toward Jesus Christ. That's our job. Jesus is alive. We too have to live. If you'll notice, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. That word nations, an interesting word. Ethnos, it's where we get ethnics. Okay, it talks about every people everywhere. Now, I asked for moms, dads, and grandparents a while ago. Let me ask this. How many of you are a child of God? Would you raise your hand? Okay, you may not be a mom, you may not be a dad, but you're a child of God. You have a responsibility to make disciples wherever you go. Okay, you have that. Kids, young people, you have a responsibility to make disciples at school. How are you doing? College students, you have a responsibility to make disciples at college. How are you doing? Adults, you have a responsibility to make disciples at work. Well, Brother Doug, they don't like me to talk about Jesus at work. You just watch. God will open the door. Okay? I'm not telling you to ruin your job. I'm not. But you watch. You'll have an opportunity. You can't work with people very long before you have an opportunity to share Jesus with them. You can't. It's impossible. Okay? What are we saying? If Jesus is Lord, and He is, and if He has earned the right to be Lord and tell us what to do, then we better take this seriously, because Jesus is alive. Amen? And He has said, wherever you go, make disciples of all nations. That's black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, red, yellow, black, and white people. They're precious in His sight. Now let's go make disciples. That's why we're here. You know, life's pretty simple. We try to complicate it, but it's really not. Jesus is alive. Now we live to make disciples because He's alive. Then we go on to the last part. Our colleague. The one that's always there for us. That'll never leave us nor forsake us. If you'll notice, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Here's the good part. You see, when Jesus says that, He says you're not going to be working alone. Now, we want Jesus to go with us when we're having surgery, don't we? Okay? And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I want Jesus to go with me, you know, if I'm having surgery. Yes, come on, let's pray. Jesus, please go, you know, go with me through that surgery. Absolutely. And we want Jesus to go with us when we're sick. When we're ill, not feeling good. And, oh, Lord, please help me recover. But do you realize the promise of this presence is, I've got the power, you've got the responsibility, but I want you to know I'm not going to let you work alone. I'm going to be there with you. How many times have you been, you know, you've been in that situation and thought, I need to tell them, I need to talk to them about Jesus. Oh, but I'm afraid. I don't want to say something wrong. Listen, if God has put it on your heart and opened a door of opportunity, you've got to trust in the promise of God that Jesus Christ is with you and He's going to give you the words to say. Okay? That's what He's talking about there. Because He's alive, we're going to live for Him. And as we live for Him, it doesn't matter how difficult it gets, our serving Him, He's going to be by our side. Oh, listen, I want to tell you, sometimes serving is hard. You know? Sometimes church work's difficult. Sometimes it's scary. The Lord opens doors of opportunity. He says, I want you to go this direction. You think, oh, Lord, I don't know if I'm the right guy for the job. Listen, if God calls you, He knows what He's doing, right? But here's what you need to know. You're not alone. You're never alone. All right? If you're a child of God, His presence is there and He will provide exactly what you need. I like Paul's words. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. Listen, we serve a living Savior. That means we have the greatest partner in the universe. That means that when this world comes to an end, you and I will still be standing at the side of Jesus. That means even when life is tough and overwhelming and you feel like you can't do this anymore, Jesus says, I'm with you. Hang on. I'm with you. Hang in there. But the challenge for this message is, Jesus is alive. Let us live like He's alive. Okay? Not a dead religion. Not just a religion of convenience. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, from this day forward, let it make a difference that your Savior is alive. Teach your kids. Share Jesus with the folks you work with. Talk about Jesus every opportunity that you have. But you may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay? And if you're in that boat, I've got some good news. All right? You want good news? Jesus is alive. Okay? Jesus is alive, and He went on, and He came to this earth and lived a sinless life so that He could become the sacrifice for your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, y'all, me, everybody here. We've all sinned. And because of that sin, we had been separated from God. And the only hope was someone to pay our sin debt. And that's what Jesus came to this earth to do. But you know what? He took it a step farther. They buried Him. He came out of that grave alive in 3 days. And because He lives, we too shall live. He was the first fruits, which means He was the first, and we're going to be the harvest that follows. Okay? Are you a child of God? How do you be saved? Very simply. It's a commitment. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess Him, make Him the Lord of your life. Okay? Knowing that He's alive today, and you will be saved. Alright? Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Are you a child of God? Alright? If not, this invitation's for you. I'd invite you to come. Maybe there's another need. Maybe you just need to come to this altar, fall down and worship Jesus because He's worthy of worship. Whatever the need is, this invitation is your opportunity to respond to Jesus leading. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the reminder. Oh, it's good to be Your child. And it's good to know that You're alive. And because You're alive, Jesus, we too shall live and be victorious over death and hell and the grave. Lord, move among us today. Touch hearts. Change lives. Save the lost. Draw the saved closer to You. I pray that You would have free reign in this service right now. In Jesus' name.